Hi, I'm Pastor Phil Grotenheis of the Phoenix United Reformed Church. Welcome to the program Abounding Grace. Grace is a word that's frequently used in Christian circles. We talk about God's sovereign grace. We rejoice in God's generous grace. We sing the hymn Amazing Grace. But what is grace, and what are its implications for our lives? In the program you're about to hear, Pastor Chris Gordon unpacks the various dimensions of God's grace, and in doing so, he brings us into a deeper understanding and appreciation of its beauty for our lives. If you appreciate this program, and you'd like to find a church that reflects its perspective, we invite you to worship with us. Our Sunday morning worship begins at 9:30, and our afternoon worship begins at 5:30. You can also check us out on the web at phoenixurc.org. Again, that's phoenixurc.org. Here now is Pastor Chris Gordon.
An antidote to our days of famine. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Well, we are so very grateful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon of Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. As always, thankful to bring these radio broadcasts to you. You can explore more about Abounding Grace, who we are, and what we believe by going to agradio.org. Again, many resources there for you, including a link and information to the Phoenix United Reformed Church and Pastor Phil Grotenheis. We are very thankful to bring these broadcasts on behalf of the Phoenix United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. We ask you to join them for worship each and every Sunday, where you will hear the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ preached in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Well, today on Abounding Grace, we are studying Psalm chapter 2, Psalm 2. And I want to read a bit of that psalm, and we will see how important this is for our day, and especially in the world turmoil that we are seeing unravel all around us in our day. Psalm 2, why do the nations rage and the peoples plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. We'll stop there. Well, we are bombarded on the news today with the political scene that is bustling about trying desperately to solve the world's problems. But the reality is that the lack of certainty, the turmoil, and the threats that come down our path today are greater than ever. And no one has any answers. Everything that we do only seems to bring further confusion. And here we are as Christians in the middle of all of this, trying to offer a message of hope and true peace. And we proclaim and we teach that Jesus Christ is the answer. We proclaim Jesus as reigning as King over all. That he is what history is all about. That he has won the victory. And that the nations of this world are subject to him. That every life is under his powerful lordship. We preach and teach Jesus that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, what's our problem? Problem is this. Everything that we confess in the Christian gospel, everything we say about Jesus Christ's powerful reign, his universal sovereignty, doesn't seem at all to be happening. And I emphasize seem. It almost feels like often we're living the very opposite of what we are proclaiming. Instead of victory, we feel defeat. Instead of power, weakness. You ever felt this? And because of this struggle, Christians haven't always known what to do when the kingdoms of this world become chaotic or turbulent or even deadly. What are we to think when a wicked leader comes into power? We live in fear because here we are trying to raise our children to be the light, and all around us is the escalation of evil. All we seem to see is idol worship. All we're exposed to is wickedness. The question then is, how do we make sense of this Christian life that tells the story of a great victory, but all we seem to be experiencing in this world is conflict? And we're left wondering, is history really moving to an end that has to do with Jesus Christ? Really? Who is talking on the world scene about Jesus? He's not even on the radar for people. And so we say, everyone's going to bow. The Phoenix United Reformed Church, we preach, Jesus Christ is Lord over all. How does all of this correspond with the reality in the here and now of this sad world? Well, with all these questions in mind, lo and behold, we have Psalm 2. Psalm 2 is an amazing psalm because it's saying to us, all of this turbulence that we are experiencing in this world, in the kingdoms of this world, it has everything to do with Jesus. It's not what it seems. Psalm 2 is giving us a picture of all of history from the viewpoint of heaven. And it's saying to us that Jesus Christ is the center of history, that everything is about him, and that everyone will bow to him. So Psalm 2 is given to show us the true meaning of it all, what is really happening. That you would not lose heart, and that you would know that the Lord is reigning over all of this chaos. Let me explain Psalm 2 this way. There has been so much confusion about the meaning of the book of Revelation. You know what? Psalm 2 is the thesis of the book of Revelation. Let me tell you what that thesis is. You know what it is? Jesus is going to win. The battle is his. Psalm 2 calls us to trust him no matter what happens in this sad world, because he is indeed reigning. Let's look at the implications of that for today. Psalm 2 is a powerful psalm, and it's been correctly observed that it was united to Psalm 1. In other words, the psalms were not given titles, and they were designed to be understood as the titles of the whole Psalter. They're telling us how to read the Psalter. And so Psalm 2 presents to us something very powerful about reality. I want to outline it this way. The first singer in this psalm in verses 1 through 3 is man taunting at God. The second singer is God's laughing response. The third singer is the Son, Jesus Christ, declaring his enthronement. And the final is a voice of one giving a surprising plea. Let's study these singers. Verse 1. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed. Now the psalmist is in shock. He's looking at something he just can't believe is happening. These little human beings, these puny human beings who are nothing but a drop in the bucket before God, the whole nations of the world. These people that live and move and have their being, who have no right to exist, well, they've done something unimaginable. The words here are really strong. The first word, rage, means a noisy tumult. They are a restless, noisy assembly. They are restless. And the psalmist says, they're all gathering together, the nations, they're plotting, they're muttering together. And the real tragedy of this psalm is the single word, against. They have gathered together, the nations of the world, the United Nations of the world, and they are plotting together against the Lord and against his anointed. And what are they saying? What are they doing? The psalmist says, they are saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast their cords from us. Their view of God is that he has shackled them, like a king placing giant chains over his captives. This is their view of God and his word over them. Bondage. No, it was never like that. I can't help but think what the Lord said to Ephraim. I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of love. And I was to them as those who take the yoke from their neck. I stooped and fed them. Who can forget our Lord when he called sinners to himself? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. What do we have here? Well, a lot of people want to find a context to this. They say in David's day, there must have been some kind of revolt. There is a specific context to this psalm. But you see, there's also one that applies to every point of history. Have you ever thought that what we're seeing happening in our country, all of the events, all of the restlessness, everything that is taking place, all of it is going somewhere? It's the sheer escalation of wickedness. It's called in the Bible the cycle of iniquity, that when a society is running its course in the sheer growth of rebellion, it's growing to the point where the Lord has to intervene and judge that society for the sake of his sheep. That's what we're looking at in this psalm. It's not that the Lord is criticizing the principle of secular government. He ordained kings and kingdoms, Romans 13. There's no authority that is not put into power by him. The psalm is presenting to us something different. The psalm is presenting to us the collective expression of rebellion that is happening in the raging peoples of this world against the Lord. In other words, as we are taken behind the scenes to see things from a heavenly perspective, so too we are taken behind the scenes to see what is happening in the kingdoms of this world. The Bible calls it the mystery of lawlessness, the spirit of Antichrist. Jesus testified in John 7 that the world's works are evil. He's talking about the world system, the principle of darkness that makes the whole world lie under the sway of the wicked one. There are spiritual things and even demons standing behind the wicked rulers of this world. This psalm, dear listener, in the beginning verses, is presenting to us human nature raging against God. And what are they doing? They're casting off all morality. They're casting off all restraint. They're changing laws. They're enforcing laws directly contrary to the very law written on their hearts. And where does it go? The kingdoms of this world become so debased, they end up cutting off and persecuting Christ's kingdom, the church. What's our greatest fear today? Well, we are seeing things happen in the nations of this world like we have never known, spiraling down in denial of Jesus Christ like we've never seen. The denial, the great denial today by every false religion is that Jesus is the Son of God. They will not accept that claim. You see, if you were to go over to Europe today is dead to the name of Jesus Christ. And then you travel over to North America, and why is it, dear listener, that everything else is accepted under the sun than the very exclusive claim that Jesus Christ is Lord, and everyone must bow to him? You can say about anything you want or believe anything you want except that. You could even make Jesus a moralist, a philanthropist, but a Savior whom you submit to and believe upon and take his yoke and repenting of your sins? Get ready. The antithesis is strong. In any given society, things are moving in a cycle and going somewhere. And you see, dear listener, what this psalm is showing us is that all of this wickedness we are experiencing, all of this tumult in the world, all of the restlessness of the nations, every time you turn on the news in our days and see the chaos and see the violence in the nations and kingdoms of this world, have you ever stopped and asked, what really does all of this restless character of the nations, why really are all these nations so restless? The psalm just told you. Everything you are seeing play out, everything you are experiencing today is a result of Jesus Christ. To make it stronger, Diocletian in the 3rd century struck up a medal saying, "The name of Christianity is extinguished." And he wrote, Diocletian Jovian Maximum Hercules, for having everywhere abolished the superstition of Christ, for having extended the worship of the gods, we got rid of him. From heaven's viewpoint, they are casting off the cords. They are setting themselves against the Lord and against his anointed. Now here's what's amazing, dear listener. The psalm doesn't turn to our response to this. Who answers this today? In this psalm, the first answer comes from God the Father. Listen to verse 4. He who is in the heavens shall laugh. Now God responds. Now, of all the things the scriptures could have recorded, it could have said, he who is in the heavens shall send out fire. He who sits in the heavens rages in fury. He who sits in heaven calls up an army. That would all be good. But aren't you moved by this? Does God laugh? Well, you see, the Lord is telling us something. He's accommodating to our understanding to tell us one thing. God is not moved by all of this. God does not tremble. He doesn't get up from his throne in pace. He doesn't calculate how he's going to deal with all of the world's problems and all of the rage that's happening and everything seeming to be spinning out of control and a noisy assembly. He stays on his throne and God laughs. Why does God want us to consider this? Remember John, when he was on the island of Patmos, he saw the revelation in chapter 4, and he looked up into heaven, and he saw a throne set in heaven. And there was one seated upon that throne. The sea around him was calm, clear, crystal glass. You see, the imagery was, the throne is set. That's the boardroom of the universe, and God is still on his throne. So here's the imagery. He's laughing. What is he laughing at? This would be like me. You know, years ago, I used to love watching the Evander Holyfield fights when I was younger. And you know what I would think to myself? No one can beat this guy. So this would be like me saying, I think I can take him. I go down to Vegas, I put on my gloves, I crawl in the ring, and everyone knows there are going to be two sounds. It's going to be him hitting me and me hitting the mat. What's Evander going to do? He's going to laugh. He's going to laugh at the sheer arrogance that I thought I could even get in the ring with him. Do the nations think they can overcome me, says the Lord? These little pots of clay, do they think they can overturn me? Do they think they can conquer me? Now, I don't know about you, but this is the most comforting thing I think I've ever read. Of all the things that cause me fear and trembling on the earth, the one who is seated and powerful over everything just laughed. You see, no matter what is happening in this sad world, no matter what we see, if the whole world crumbles, guess what, dear listener? The Lord is still on his throne, unshaken by the world's greatest tumult against him. And you see, this was given to tell God's people something and to warn the world. You see, I see so many Christians today given to overwhelming fear of what's going to happen with the next president, who's going to get into the next presidency, and we look at all of the wickedness, we look at all of the dangers, we look at all of the uncertainty, the political godlessness in a post-9/11 world, and you know what? We stand back from it, and we, the Christians, are in great fear. And you know, I look at Psalm 2 and I think, if this were all aimed at us alone, I would say fear, because then we have to handle it. But who does this psalm say it's aimed against? It's aimed against the Lord and his anointing, his anointed. And you see, it really makes us pause and realize how strong then is our witness as we are fearing. As we are fearing the noisy, restless kingdoms and kings of this world. See, the psalm is really the most consoling and comforting psalm in the Psalter because its aim is to say, when you trust in the Lord, there's nothing to fear. God is your refuge and your strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear if the greatest mountains that we know are picked up and hurled into the midst of the sea, if massive tsunamis wipe us all out. We belong to the Lord. He is our God. He will shield us and protect us and take us to our heavenly home. You know what Martin Luther used to say of this psalm? Let us console ourselves together with this psalm. For it's not just ourselves the world is so bitterly against, but God himself. So instead of being afraid, we should be laughing at this crazy effort of the world to think that they can fight against God. No one will deprive Jesus Christ of his throne, for God the Father has placed him there forever. And you see, this is the perspective the believer must have. God has answered this sad world. He has answered this world in his wrath. I'm going to terrify them, he says. I'm going to hold them in derision. And how is he going to do that? The psalm tells you. He says, I'm going to set my king on my holy hill of Zion. Meet my king. And you see, in verse 7, that's who we're introduced to. I will tell of the decree. I will proclaim the decree. The Lord said of me, today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. The Lord just said, here's my response. I'm installing my son on the throne. The son responds, I'm going to declare that decree. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. You know who this is, dear listener. The scriptures tell us over and over and over, this son is Jesus Christ. Romans 1 says, in the resurrection, he was declared to be the Son of God with power. And what is being described is Christ's glorious coronation, glorification, ascension, session on the throne in heaven, and he is ruling all things. That's why Peter quoted Psalm 2 on the day of Pentecost and shortly after Acts, as the gospel was going out to the ends of the earth. Why did the nations rage and your peoples plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. As he announced Jesus, you know what happened? A great multitude believed because of the power of the resurrection, and great grace was given to them. Christ is reigning today. He's seated far above all principalities and powers. And you know what? The church needs to be bold in its mission. The mission is to preach him. He's plundering the nations. He is plundering and saving people to the ends of the earth. That is the mission and the mandate of the church, to preach Jesus and to save those souls from death. The psalm ends with a warning. O kings, be warned. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Believe in Jesus today. We announce him. We preach him because he is God's answer to all this sadness. He is indeed reigning, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Believe in the name of the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program, and we humbly ask both for your prayerful and financial support. You can write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264, agradio.org is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. On behalf of the Phoenix United Reformed Church, may the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
Well, we hope you enjoyed the program, Abounding Grace. In this weekly program, Pastor Chris Gordon tackles a number of interesting and relevant subjects that touch upon our lives. We're glad to partner with him and the Abounding Grace team as they bring the antidote for our fallen world, namely God's amazing and abounding grace. I'm Phil Grotenheis, pastor of the Phoenix United Reformed Church. If you'd like to know more about God's grace and how it impacts your life, I invite you to worship with us. We're a church Church, committed to God's generous grace and the reformational perspective you hear on this program. Our morning worship is at 9:30, and our afternoon worship is at 5:30. I also invite you to check us out on the web at phoenixurc.org. Again, that's phoenixurc.org. God bless you as you continue to tune into Abounding Grace and the teaching ministry of Pastor Chris Gordon.